little bit of bass as well.
You can turn it up a little bit, just a teeny bit. Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, test mic.
Rolling? Let's do it, man.
Welcome to the Sessions at Midori House. I'm Andrew Muller. Our guest this week is Katie Mellower. Mellower's latest album, In Winter, is at once her most surprising. It's a choral collaboration recorded in the hometown of Stalin, and yet in many respects her most logical. A reconnection with Georgia, the country she left as a child, but never entirely left behind. Katie came to Midori House to discuss her collaboration with the Gori Women's Choir and the reasons that Georgia, brace yourselves, is still on her mind.
You're precious, I can't stand seeing you cry. It hurts watching you get what you don't deserve. I tell myself you don't belong in this rough life. You should have a perfect. Should have a perfect world. You're too gentle and much too quick to forgive. Every slight blow you've ever been dealt. Well, who knows if the world will ever deserve you? You should have a perfect. Should have a perfect
world.
Katie, welcome to the sessions at Midori House.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It's kind of, well, if we're in the Northern Hemisphere, it's a weird time to be doing this because your latest album is called In Winter and it is now verging on spring, although we do have listeners in the Southern Hemisphere, so we can pitch it to them. But this was the album you made with the Gory Women's Choir, which is it's not the most obvious of collaborative ventures. So you are, of course, Georgian, you're from that part of the world anyway, but how did you happen across the Gory Women's Choir in particular?
I was looking for Georgian musicians because, I mean, I've been making music since I was 18 years old, so that's now 12 years. Oh, no, sorry, do my maths better, 14 years. and I've never had the opportunity to go back to Georgia and work and collaborate with musicians on the ground. It was also part of this idea of having quite a hectic life living here in London amongst the music industry of the early noughties and then the late noughties, and just wanting to go back and remind myself of what home felt like. So part of looking for musicians on the ground, I came across the Gory Women's Choir on Spotify of all places. Their sound was just mesmerising. There was a recording of theirs. So they're a modern classical choir. And they had this record on there called Archaica, Volume 1 and 2. And it's pretty sort of intense listening. But as a choir, they just sound so majestic. It really felt almost like a, you know, religious experience. I mean, I'm not particularly religious, but it just felt so spiritual. Maybe that's a better use of the word.
Was Georgian culture something you had always stayed in touch with? Because you left when you were quite small. Did it always have that? I mean, I noticed this myself as an Australian expat of many years standing. I'm weirdly susceptible to songs with a recognisably Australian accent in them, often even if I don't like the song itself very much. Was it a similar kind of thing for you that you felt you never quite got away from it?
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, we speak Georgian at home. So we moved over in 94 and always kept up Georgian at home. And so all these and other practical things were very Georgian in the home growing up. And then plus every summer we used to go and visit.
So how did you go about pitching this project to the Gory Women's Choir? You're presumably a fairly well-known quantity in Georgia. What was your initial opening gambit?
You know what? I didn't even pitch an album. I was like, you know, I'm a real fan of these records that you guys have recorded and love to come and meet you and listen to you rehearse and just come and hang out. Now, Georgia is a tiny country, so it's really easy to get hold of people. And they were super, super welcoming, really, really welcoming. So I went to see them rehearse. This was in September 2014. And during that month, they go to their dacha to rehearse quite intensely. The rest of the year, they rehearse three times a week. So when I saw them, it was just like, maybe we could collaborate. They sounded as astonishing in the flesh as they did on the record. And, you know, they're really open to it. And again, I didn't really pitch it as we're going to record an album, you know, we're going to be releasing it from a Western base. Because the thing is, in Georgia, we've grown up with Western music. You know, the influence of the music from the West is so massive. And the fact that I guess I emigrated to the UK, and then I made these six albums that did, you know, really exceptionally well by most standards is a huge thing. So for them, I knew they would be keen to say yes, regardless of what I offered. And so I knew I had to be careful of that and make sure that, you know, the collaboration was treated as fairly as possible. And so we did that by taking things really a step at a time. So that's why we had like workshop dates that I did in February 2015, and then the first session recordings in September, and then the final 2 months of recording at the start of 2016. This is my song, The Plain Song. Seats were all dusty, the side doors were open, those aeroplanes were left there years ago. Granddad had spoken of forests in Russia, I pictured him walking in 10 inches of snow. We lied pretending those planes could fly. That
nothing was out of reach in the whole of the sky. It was just pretending, simple to do. We'd make some plans and travel someplace new. Paris and London, those cities in movies, perfect lives were lived if they could be believed. But back in the real world, they seemed so distant, and none of it mattered in the aeroplane field. We lied pretending those planes could fly, that rusty old wings knew the entire sky. It was just pretending there was nothing more. Hey, why the sad face? Can't you feel this cabin sore? It was great pretending those planes could fly, that nothing was out of reach in the whole of the sky. Come on, hurry, we'll soon be gone. It's time for us to put our seatbelts on.
Were the logistics of recording an album like this in Gori? It's a town I've been to a couple of times, though not for a long time, and it is a town with a certain history. Do they still have the big statue of Stalin in the town square, or has that gone
no.
now?
No, and it's interesting you mention that, because I had a dinner with the Gori mayor, and it was a day when he'd had some locals coming and complaining, you know, sort of a minor riot in the town, because the statue is gone and had been gone, I don't know exactly for how long. And they were complaining that it was attracting less tourists. So, you know, it was like their livelihoods. But with your question about what it was like logistically, the mayor, he was kind enough to, on the first session, give us the local culture centre to go and base ourselves and record in. So we had a space that was a bit like a small cinema, and that was where we set everything up. We had the actual rig, the Pro Tools rig, in the same space as where the choir was. So Cecil, my co-producer, he was on headphones, and that's how he was, you know, monitoring everything.
Did you feel about this project in particular, but I guess about yourself in general, whether you have any kind of ambassadorial responsibility, as it were, for Georgia? Because it's not a country with a long list of internationally famous people.
Well, there's Stalin.
Well, indeed. So I guess you could say the only way's no, up at that
yeah.
point.
Well, you kind of get sort of pushed around like that. Like, your name does get pushed around, like, among certain circles. But I kind of really try not to think about it, because it seems like quite a full-on, should we say, burden to think about. I mean, my interests are wholly in music, and I just want to get better at what I do, which is music. But the thing is, you can't really escape your, I guess, where you're from. Like, I'm a real firm believer, or I've come to learn recently, that your creativity is really inspired by your location and by your upbringing and, you know, just what's around you in terms of atmosphere, in terms of setting, in terms of weather, in terms of geography. You know, so Georgia in that sense means a great deal to me, because it represents my childhood and it represents my summers, because we used to go back every single summer. So, yeah, I mean, I love it on that type of level, because it's very personal to me. But, yeah, in terms of any kind of ambassadorial, that sphere is just something I'm not really that involved with. This is I Cried For You.
beautiful, so silently it lies beneath a shade of blue. It struck me so violently when I looked at you. But others pass, they never pause to feel that magic in your hand. To me, you're like a wild rose, they never understand why I cried for you when the sky cried for you. And when you went, I became a hopeless drifter. But this life was not for you, though I learned from you that beauty need only be a whisper. I crossed the sea for a different world with your treasure, a secret for me to hold. They may forget this love of ours or that we met. They may not know how much you meant to me. I cried for you when the sky cried for you. And when you went, I became a hopeless drifter. But this life was not for you, though I learned from you that beauty need only be a whisper. Without you, now I see how fragile the world can be. Gone away, but in my heart you always stay.
You've been listening to The Sessions at Midori House. Today's guest was Katie Mellower. In Winter by Katie Mellower and the Gory Women's Choir is out now on BMG Rights Management. For more information, head to katiemellower.com. Join us again at the same time next week for more live music from Icelandic artist JFDR. I've been Andrew Muller. Thanks for tuning in.
But this life was not for you.